Good afternoon, everybody. Shmuel Plotzker coming at you live from Gulf Manor Synagogue and our School of Jewish Studies. I have officially lost my voice. I have some kind of chest cold. It has not gone away as I was hoping it would, maybe because I'm just not treating it right. I apologize for that. Going to pray to God harder and go see a doctor. How about that? Sounds like a good 1-2 plan. Yesterday we had a blood drive here at the shul. It was an enormous success. So thank God. I want to give my thanks to my wife for her hard work in advertising it and getting the word out to so many people at Children's Hospital and beyond. I want to thank YY Davis of Mark's Bagels for the free bagels. Mr. Shoshana Rudman of Breads and Spreads, the Cincinnati Reds for their swag, which we raffled away. Today, I have the distinct pleasure of beginning a book with you that has got me trembling with excitement. Now, the book was published about 30 years ago. Where was I when it came out? I don't know. I was in law school because it was published in 1991. I was in Israel from 84 to 87 and then worked a little bit and ultimately enrolled and began law school in 1990. The book was published at the completion of my first year of law school or so, and it is a super marvelous book. It is Torat Eretz Yisrael, the teachings of Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cohen Cook, with the commentary of Rav David Samson. This book will take us into the Beis Medrash of Yeshivat Merkaz Rav Cook in Jerusalem, Israel, where Rabbi Tzvi Yehuda Cook gave shir for decades, and his shiurim were written down, and they were put to writing in Hebrew, and a sefer was published in Hebrew, which we're recommended to learn. But if your Hebrew is not all that great, and if your time is limited, this book will still open up to you vistas of thought of Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cohen Cook and that of his father, and we'll get general ideas, principles and thoughts that we may never have known before, and if that'll give you the background for further study into the original writings of Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cohen Cook, then all the better for that. It's a wonderful book. I'm super excited. Let's get started. But before we do, I want to just tell you the table of contents. I'm going to read you the introduction. I'm going to read you the foreword. There's a biographical sketch. I'll give that to you as well. And then the book is divided into three major parts. One is Emunat Yisrael. And I will use the Israeli pronunciation all the way through. Whenever I'm saying anything at all, I'm going to make sure that I pronounce it with a modern Israeli Havara to try to put us back, if we can, to the extent that we can, into Yeshivat Merkaz Rav Kook, beautiful building, beautiful yeshiva in Kiryat Moshe in Yerushalayim. Emunat Yisrael will start things off. And we're going to learn about the study of Emunah. I don't want to give it away, but there's a lot here to unpack. Then Ahavat Yisrael. First we take a look at the faith of Israel, Emunat Yisrael. Then we'll go on to Ahavat Yisrael on page 55. And then we'll go into Eretz Yisrael, and that's on page 95. And that'll take us through to the end of the book, those three major parts of the book. That's what they are. Let's get started. If you have the book in front of you, Torah Eretz Yisrael, the English translation book of the teachings of Tzvi Yehuda Cohen Cook, published by Torah Eretz Yisrael, and Kitav in 1991. My wife got it for me through Amazon. Came second day shipment. You can get yourself a copy as well. It's about a 300-page book. Let's begin with an introduction by none other than Rav Avraham Elkanah Kahana Shapira, Shlita, the chief rabbi of Israel, a yeshiva of Yeshivat Merkez Rav Kook in Yerushalayim. He writes, the translation, and you know what? I read this last night and I was thunderstruck because this was my question. I'm going to read you Rav Kahana Shapira, former chief rabbi of Israel, and what he asks is exactly what I asked. And I try to get an answer. I try to pick people's brains. Listen. The translation of our sacred writings has been given special attention by our sages. Moshe Rabbeinu himself, in explaining the Torah in the plains of Moab, translated it into 70 languages. See Devarim, we're coming up to it soon. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 5. See Rashi there. Similarly, upon entering the land of Israel, Yahushua was commanded to inscribe on great boulders all the words of this Torah clearly explained. See Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 8. Rashi states that the phrase clearly explained means writing the Torah in 70 languages. See Rashi there. From these instances, we learn that it is proper to translate the Torah into foreign languages. And regarding this, there's a special divine command to Joshua to write all of the words of the Torah clearly explained. On the other hand, it's recorded in Megillas Tainis that darkness came to the world for 3 days because of the translation of the Torah into Greek in the days of Talmai the king. Our rabbis of blessed memory even established the anniversary of this translation as a fast day, Sabbat Tavis, because of our great anguish over this event. The discrepancy between the sources is striking. Do you see it, friends? Do you see it? Why did the rabbis of blessed memory view the translation of the Torah into Greek as a tragedy when both Moshe and Yahushua themselves translated the Torah not only into Greek, but into all 70 Gentile languages? Assuming Greek was around then, it's not so clear that it was. But even if it was very primitive, There you had it, and they translated the Torah into it. Once Rav Tzvi Cohen Cook, Zatzal, was asked to explain this paradox. Why did darkness come to the world for 3 days when the Torah was translated into Greek in the days of King Talmai, when in the Torah itself, Hashem commanded that the Torah be translated into 70 languages? I cannot believe that I was mechavein to this very same question. I'm not the world's greatest Talmudist. I'm just letting you know that I gave it some thought. And I thought, wait a second. What are you upset about? Why are you making a sad day out of that? Hashem commanded all 70 languages. Greek was one of them. And if it wasn't, so what? You had 69 other languages or 70, whatever, that the Torah to be translated into. So Rav Tzvi Yehuda reflected on the question. And he said that the matter depended on our inner strength. When Israel is strong, as in the times of Moshe and Yahushua, there's reason to translate the Torah, even for the nations of the world. However, in the era of the Second Temple, when the kings of the house of Talmai ruled over us and forced us to translate our Torah against our will and against our own interests, this is indeed a cause for mourning. Concurrent with this understanding, we are faced with another apparent contradiction. Ezra, in a similar period of national weakness during the Second Temple era, translated the Torah into Aramaic. In the book of Nehemiah, in chapter 8, verse 8, it is recorded how Ezra and Nehemiah gathered the returned exiles of Zion on Rosh Hashanah and read the Torah to them. And this is what it says there. So they read in the book, in the Torah of God distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. The Gemara in Megillah 3a explains this verse. They read in the book, in the Torah of God distinctly. This, the explanation of the reading, this is the Targum, the Aramaic translation. Ezra had to translate the Torah for the Jewish people who returned to Israel from the exile in Babylon, because not all of them could understand the Torah in the sacred Hebrew language. However, in light of what we have explained, we still have to understand how Ezra could have translated the Torah in a time of national weakness. To do this, we must make a distinction and say that even in a time of weakness, if the purpose of the translation is to teach Jews Torah, then the undertaking is permitted and even a mitzvah. However, when the goal of a translation is to teach the nations of the world, then the matter depends on our inner strength. In translating the writings of Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cohen Cook Zatzal, there is another matter of interest. The Gemara states that when Yonatan ben Uziel translated the words of the prophet, an earthquake shook the land of Israel for 400 square parsangs because secrets of the Torah were revealed to mankind. See Gemara Megillah 3a. The sections of the Torah which deal with the end of the Galus, the Galut, and the coming of the Mashiach are matters which are uniquely related to Jews who live in Eretz Israel and who speak the Holy Tongue. The book Torah Eretz Israel represents a new dimension in Torah literature in presenting fundamental principles of Torah Eretz Israel to the English-speaking public for the first time. The clear illumination of our relationship to Torah, to Am Yisrael, and to Eretz Israel in our unique era, which until now has been the inheritance of those students who have made the writings of Avraham Yitzchak Cohen Cook Zatzal a regular part of their learning, is now available. Excuse me. It's now available to the broad Anglo-Saxon community. The appearance of this work at this time takes on an additional importance with the eradication of the penultimate exiles of Ethiopia and Russia. Today, the Jews who are scattered throughout the Anglo-Saxon world constitute the principal Galut. Thus, it is precisely this community which most needs a beacon of light which can connect them to Eretz Yisrael and to its Torah. I pray, this again is Rabbi Avram Kahana Shapira, Zatzal, the former chief rabbi of Israel. He concludes, I pray, hope, and believe that this book will be warmly received by those who learn it, if its readers will succeed in internalizing its contents. There is sufficient power in the teachings of Rav Tzvi Yehuda Zatzal to cause an upheaval, as in the days of Yonatan ben Uzziel, when the earth trembled for 400 square parsecs. Wow. And now, the foreword by Rav Shlomo Chaim HaKohen Avner, Rosh Yeshiva, Ateret Kohanim, Jerusalem, Israel. Rabbi Avner writes, no one is bold enough to think he can properly describe Rav Tzvi Yehuda, our teacher, or to understand even a little of his stature. But to be silent is also forbidden. The essence of Rav Tzvi Yehuda HaKohen Kuk Zatzal lay in his being a tzaddik of the nation, of Klal Yisrael, of the entire community of Israel, in all of its different groupings and shades. He was a national tzaddik, not just a private holy sage. The concept, now here he's going to go into notions of tzaddik, which I would have thought are a little bit more appropriate for a Hasidic Rebbe. Let's see what he says. The concept of an evil man is someone whose entire life and ambition is materialistic and degenerate to an extreme. The tzaddik stands in contrast to this, a man whose life essence is ethical, spiritual, and kadosh. He is a man filled and surrounded with Torah. Yet even amongst tzaddikim, there are levels, level upon level of kedusha, of Torah, of purity of life and deed. On the most exalted peak stands the tzaddik of all Israel. He is not concerned with his own private place in the world to come, but with the world to come of the entire community of Israel. See Masilat Yesharim at the end of chapter 19. He is the tzaddik who raises himself above the trait of Sheli Sheli, V'shalacha Shalacha, as we see in Pirkei Avos chapter 5, Mishnah 13. What's mine is mine. What's yours is yours. He raises himself above that to identify with every fiber of his being, with the yearnings and needs of the entire nation and world. Rabbeinu's life was so fused with the life of the nation, he ceased being a private person. His entire inner being was bonded with the nation's well-being, with a humility which left nothing for himself. His fusion with the divine light, which shines in the congregation of Israel, was totally complete. Like King David, who spoke of himself in his private life as a worm and not a man. See Tehillim 22, verse 7. Yet in his universal aspect, in his devotion, commitment, and self-sacrifice to the nation. He rose to encompass the exalted heights of Klal Yisrael itself. Rav Tzvi Yehuda identified with all of the nation in all of its wanderings through history, but especially with the living soul of the nation today, as it appears in our generation. And emanating from this, he was deeply bonded to each and every Jew with a devotion of brotherhood and love which everyone could feel. In every generation, there is a tzaddik to the whole Israeli nation, a tzaddik of the masses, a tzaddik to all of the world. He is so universal in his influence, he is the foundation of the world itself. Tzaddik Yesod Olam. See Proverbs chapter 10, verse 25. These universally righteous men form a chain from generation to generation. They funnel the divine flow of life, which advances the historical mission of Israel. This national tzaddik is a unique personality, elevated over all of his generation. This is especially true today, in a generation which has witnessed the rebirth of our people and the restoration of our nation in our land. For this national reawakening will bring the great longed-for repentance, the tshuva of the entire nation of Israel, and with it, the repentance of the world. See Orot HaTeshuvah, chapter 17, section 1. These tzaddikim are unique. Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kuk Zatzal and Rav Tzvi Yehuda HaKohen Kuk, his son, are the tzaddikim of the redemption. The Spirit of Hashem, which hovers over the world and directs all of our history, is embodied in their souls. Individual effort alone doesn't make a tzaddik. His essence is a unique divine creation. In the beginning of time, Hashem formed a soul filled with the miraculous talents tailored to the needs of the generation of redemption. And God planted that soul in our midst. The former chief rabbi of Israel, Rav Shlomo Goren, expressed this succinctly when he called Rav Tzvi Yehuda the Nasi, the president of Israel, the father of the nation, the leader, and the outstanding judge of halacha in its national aspects, which are manifested in the laws of the community, the kingdom, and the laws which govern the redemption of Israel. Rav Tzvi Yehuda's divine historic mission was to illuminate the holy foundation of our national rebirth in Israel and to teach us to discover Hashem, not only in the Torah, but also in the historical events unfolding in our midst. Surrounding this vision was his profound, fundamental emunah. Watch that word. Surrounding this vision was his profound, fundamental emunah in all of our nation, in our unblemishable Kedusha, and in our eternal connection to Hashem. Rav Tzvi Yehuda defined his father's life task in two words, HaTorah HaGoelet, the redeeming Torah. HaTorah HaGoelet is the Torah in all of its encompassing wholeness, depth, breadth, and detailed intensity. This is the Torah which illuminates the path of our redemption and brings it to life. It is a learning which encompasses all branches of Torah, the practical and worldly, as well as the most spiritual inner quests. From our very beginnings, our rabbis have told us that the redemption of Israel depended upon our discovering the secrets of Torah, on the revelation of the Torah's deepest truths. Here he states the Zohar, Parshas Naso, and the Gra's Evan Shlema, chapter 11, subsection 3 by the Gra, where the Gra writes, quote, this redemption will not come to pass except through the learning of Torah. And the principle of redemption depends on the learning of Kabbalah. And see Orot, chapter 64, subsection 57, by Rav Kook. And from here on in, what I'm going to do is, I'm going to refer to Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kohen Kook as Rav Tzvi Yehuda. And to his father, I will refer to him as Rav Kook. So Rav Kook, that will refer to the first chief rabbi of Palestine, the father of Tzvi Yehuda, otherwise known as Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Kook. We'll call him Rav Kook from here on in. And Rav Tzvi Yehuda, we'll call him Rav Tzvi Yehuda. Here we go. The redeeming Torah, which is learned in the Beit Midrash of Rav Kook, is the Torah of the verse, Torah Hashem, Tamima. God's Torah is perfect. See Tehillim chapter 19, verse 8. This is the Torah in all of its completeness. The Torah which restores the soul. See Jerusalem Talmud, chapter Brachos, chapter 5, subsection 1. Only this Torah and learning can renew the soul of the individual who lives it, and the soul of the general nation of Israel, which for thousands of years lay entombed with the dry bones of Yechezkel. See Yechezkel, chapter 37. These dry bones have now been resurrected and brought back to life by HaTorah HaGoelet. With joy you shall draw water out of the wells of salvation. A verse in Isaiah, chapter 12, verse 3. The Targum explains that pasuk as meaning, with joy you shall welcome a new learning from the elite tzaddikim. The water we draw from is Torah. Those who are thirsty for Torah go to the elite tzaddikim and receive a new teaching. The Tzvi Yehuda's Torah HaGoelet is this new learning, this new old learning. Rashi tells us on the verse, in Shamoa Tishmu, if you hearken diligently, see Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 13. Rashi says, if you hearken to the old, you will hearken to the new. The more a man attunes his ears to hear the old, he hears the new, which develops and gradually comes to light. Pasuk in Proverbs now, but the path of the righteous is like the gleam of sunlight that shines ever more brightly until the heat of noonday. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 8. In our generation, this brighter learning burst to light through the channels of Rav Kook and his son, Rav Tzvi Yehuda. There are many truly righteous men and Torah scholars, all of great stature in the service of Hashem. But the new learning does not come from them all. Not all possess the life of the world implanted within them. Chaye Olam Nata Bisochenu. Not all possess that. Not all are awarded the task of illuminating the world with the divine light which is destined for his generation. This is the task of the elite tzaddikim who are appointed by divine choice and creation. They are the springs of salvation, the tzaddikim who know how to teach the new learnings hidden in the wellsprings of Torah. These great souls are our sources of redemption. We are to receive this new learning with pleasure and joy. See the bracha before the morning Shema. How fortunate we are to learn Torah from the chosen tzaddikim who teach us how to see, or the Or Chadash Al Tzion Ta'ir, who teach us how to see the new light shining on Zion. That's the bracha. Or Chadash Al Tzion Ta'ir. A new light may you put upon Zion. And may we all be Zocha. May we all be worthy to see that light together today. That concludes Rabbi Avner. We now go on to a brief biographical sketch and the editor's note. Little drink. Gotta stay hydrated. All right. Let us now read about the life and times of Rav Tzvi Yehuda. Here we go. A feeling of great joy accompanies the publication of this volume. For the first time, the teachings of Rav Tzvi Yehuda are being made available in English. Rav Tzvi Yehuda dedicated his entire life to disseminate the teachings of his father, Rav Kook, and to illuminate the Torah of Eretz Israel. This new light on Zion and Torah is especially important today when, after a 2,000-year exile, the scattered Jewish nation is returning to its land. Rav Kook once confided that the person who most truly understood his teachings was his one and only son. Rav Tzvi Yehuda was born on Pesach night in the year 5651, 100 years ago. So if the book was published in 1991, he was born in 1891 in the town of Zemel in the Lithuanian district of Kovna. His mother, Reza Rivka, was the daughter of Rav Tzvi Yehuda Rabinowitz. So you see who he's named for, who himself was the twin brother of the Aderet. The Kook family moved to Boisk when Rav Kook was made rabbi of the city. Upon the appointment of Rav Kook as chief rabbi of Yafo, the family made aliyah to Israel on the 28th day of Iyar in the American calendar year of 1904, on the very same day of the month on which Yerushalayim was later reunited during the miraculous Six-Day War, Yom Yerushalayim. Every year, at the Yom Yerushalayim celebration at Yeshiva Merkez Rav Kook, Rav Tzvi Yehuda would mention the great significance this day held for his family. In addition to his yeshiva learning, Rav Tzvi Yehuda studied throughout his early childhood and youth with his father. At a very young age, he grew into a respected Talmud Chacham, yet he declined to teach in public unless his father specifically told him to teach. He dedicated himself to Torah study and to the organization, editing, and publication of his father's prolific writings. His attachment to his father permeated every sphere of his life, including working by his father's side to establish the Shaarei Torah Yeshiva in Yafo, and assisting him in many of the duties of the Yafo rabbinate. When the long hours of community work began to interfere with his learning, he moved to Yerushalayim to study at the Porat Yosef Yeshiva. After a period of intense study, he accepted a teaching position in Germany, where he concentrated his own studies on the in-depth learning of Gemara, Shulchan Aruch, and Poskim. Throughout the First World War, his studies continued in Europe, where he was stranded without any way of returning to Israel. By the way, this is an aside, not in the text, but I'm letting you know, the same thing was true of his own father, Rav Kook, at that time. My understanding is that his father, Rav Kook, went to Europe to collect funds and or to promote, frankly, religious Zionism among the masses of Jews in Europe. And I think he found himself in England collecting funds and giving speeches. And then World War I broke out. And that pitted the English against, if I'm not mistaken, I got to review my history, but the Ottoman Turks were in charge of the land of Israel at the time, and they were involved in the war, and the British were involved in the war on opposite sides. He was not able, allowed, to return back to Israel. It was run by the Ottoman Turks. Therefore, Rav Kook had to stay in England for the duration of the war, of the First World War. I got to confess, I had no idea that his own son, his one and only son, was at the same time also in Europe, stranded, not able to leave, not able to return to Israel. The father in England and the son in Germany. In the year 1918 of the Common Era, Rav Tzvi Yehuda journeyed throughout Europe, meeting with the outstanding Torah leaders to enlist their support for Degel Yerushalayim, a movement of religious Zionism which his father had established to unite all of Am Yisrael in the holy work of revitalizing the nation and of building the land. 2 years later, in 1920, Rav Tzvi Yehuda married Chava Leah, the daughter of Rav Yehuda Lev Hutner. A year later, in 1921, when his father founded Yeshivat Merkaz Rav Kook, the Central Universal Yeshiva in Jerusalem, Rav Tzvi Yehuda joined the Nazir Rav David HaKohen and Rav Yaakov Moshe Chalap on the teaching staff. In addition to the classes in Tanakh and Emunah, which he taught, he supervised the yeshiva's administration, organized the rescue and aliyah of yeshiva students from Russia and Lithuania, and continued the editing of his father's writings. After his father's death, on Gimel Be'elul, in the American year 1935, Rav Tzvi Yehuda took an active role in the struggle for Israeli statehood. And, with the establishment of the State of Israel, he urged his students and the nation to see the divine value of Medinat Yisrael in the redemption of Am Yisrael. Rav Tzvi Yehuda succeeded Rav Chalap as Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva at Merkaz Rav Kook. Under Rav Tzvi Yehuda's direction, the yeshiva grew to be the spiritual center for the rebirth of the nation in Israel. Its students became the founders of yeshivot and religious schools all over the country. The leaders of the Gush Emunim movement, which led the way in the settlement of Yehuda and Shomron, the Golan Heights, and Gaza, were almost all students of Harav Tzvi Yehuda. Until the day of his passing, on Purim Day, in the American calendar year of 1982, at the age of 91, he championed the principle of Jewish settlement in all of Eretz Israel. And Rav Tzvi Yehuda stressed the Torah prohibition against surrendering any fraction of the land of Israel to any other people or nation. Hence the friction back in the day as to whether Israel should give up this piece of land or that piece of land for the sake of peace. Some rabbis said yes. Rav Tzvi Yehuda adamantly said no. No giving up Israel. It's Jewish land. Jews don't give up the Holy Land to anybody. That was his position. We continue now with this biographical sketch. In addition to the work of editing his father's writings, Tzvi Yehuda published numerous articles and books of his own. His classes, spanning all subjects of Torah, have been recorded in hundreds of hours of tapes. The edited transcripts of these classes, published in Hebrew by Rav Shlomo Chaim HaKohen Avner Shlita, form the basis of the English translations in this book. Any reader who has a working knowledge of Hebrew is encouraged to read Rav Tzvi Yehuda's lectures in the original Hebrew, published as Sichot Rav Tzvi Yehuda by Yeshivat Atzeret Kohanim. Rather than presenting a dry, literal translation of the Hebrew Sichot, a commentary by Rav David Samson Shlita, a longtime student at the Merkez Rav Yeshiva, has been included, obviously, in this book, to explain Rav Tzvi Yehuda's teaching in the light of the unique era of redemption, which Rav Tzvi Yehuda taught his students to see. Generally, Rav Tzvi Yehuda addressed his lectures to students who were acquainted with traditional yeshiva learning and with the writings of the Maharal, the Kuzari, and with the works of his father. Therefore, to make the lectures clear to the English-speaking reader who may not be familiar with these works, important background is included in the commentary. Whenever possible, however, a straightforward translation of the Rosh Hashiva speech is presented. For clarity, quotes of Rav Tzvi Yehuda have been indented on the page and enclosed by quote marks. The verses of Torah, Gemara, Midrashim, and commentaries, which fill the Rosh Hashiva's lectures, are printed in italics, unless otherwise typeset for emphasis. However, the stream of verses which punctuated his speech and the associations and meanings they contain cannot be reproduced in translation. Thus, the reader is encouraged to study the notes on each page for valuable sources and background. The footnotes, like the translations, are based on the Hebrew Sichot, edited by Harav Shlomo Avner. While many themes in the book may seem to be repeated, this is not a drawback of the book, but rather its highlight. In his lectures on the study of Torah, Rav Tzvi Yehuda taught his students to appreciate the special style of the Talmud. Once a student asked why the discourses in the Gemara are so undefined and rambling, as opposed to the Rambam, which is clear and succinct. Rav Tzvi Yehuda answered that the Talmud is living and therefore resembles a live discussion, as opposed to the codified text of the Rambam, which while overwhelming in its clarity, lacks the vitality of simple discussion. In editing the Sichot, we tried to remain faithful to the Rosh Hashiva's lively, associative style. The thematic repetitions, which reappear throughout the lectures, have been purposefully included because each theme takes on an additional dimension when set in a different context. The concepts which are repeated are integral to a proper understanding of Am Yisrael and Torah, and special attention should be given to them and to their nuances as they reappear throughout the lectures. Finally, a word of apology and confession. The writing of this book was undertaken with an awareness of the inadequacies and pitfalls which are involved in translating the Hebrew Sichot. We have attempted to capture the gist of Rav Tzvi Yehuda's expression and the substance of his teaching. However, no translation could do justice to his very precise, rich, and dramatic Hebrew. No translation can capture the grandeur of his thoughts or the passion for truth in his speech. Once, while describing the influence of Klal Yisrael on the world, Rav Tzvi Yehuda used a series of adjectives that might roughly be translated into English: the cosmic, transuniversal, transcendental, physical, concrete. Rav Yosef Bedeki asked the Rosh Yeshiva why he had used so many words when a single adjective might have sufficed. Rav Tzvi Yehuda answered with a surprised glance that made his student realize that each word had its own precise definition, which, only when they were combined together, expressed the exact idea. This precision and illumination is impossible in English. Hebrew is the language of the Torah, and only the Lashon HaKodesh can express the nuances and shades of its divine light. The deep inner bond between Torah and Hebrew is all the more vital in the Torah of Eretz Israel. The new light on Zion, on Zion, which we yearn for in our prayers, is uniquely connected to Eretz Israel and to our sacred Hebrew tongue. In the same way that our life in Galut is foreign to our true Israeli natures, foreign languages distort our true understanding of Torah. Concepts like Kedusha, Emuna, and Klal Yisrael have no precise counterpart in English. Language is a product of culture, and the Christian Protestant foundations of English-speaking cultures often stand in antithesis to Torah. Again. Wow. Very sorry. Christian Protestant foundations of English-speaking cultures often stand in antithesis to Torah concepts and ideals. To translate Kedusha as holiness risks the danger of many false associations. Images of Christian priests, Buddhist monks, and their sterile negation of life stand in total contrast to the foundations of Jewish Kedusha, which seeks to raise all of life to God. The translator's job is made even more difficult because the available Torah literature in English is itself a product of the Galut. The Torah of Eretz Israel and the concepts on which it is based have no existing expression in English. Yet, if the translator avoids using problematic terms such as holiness, faith, saintliness, and the like, and relies on arcane explanations of these concepts, he ends up with a dry, cumbersome text that no one can read. Thus, because of these problems, the encompassing national perspective of Torah, which Rav Tzvi Yehuda taught his students to see, has remained a treasure confined to the Lashon HaKodesh and to the generation of Israelis challenged with restoring the Torah and the nation to our land. With the mass aliyah of Russian Jews to Israel, the world of English-speaking Jews represents the final diaspora. Rav Kook taught that the darkness, this is the brother of Tzvi Yehuda, Rav Tzvi Yehuda taught that the darkness of the exile can only be erased by adding light. It is our hope that this presentation of the Torah of Eretz Yisrael in English will be a valuable guide for readers who lack access to Rav Kook's teachings in Hebrew. We'd like to thank the following. And here he thanks Rav Moshe Kaplan, Tzvi Leker, Rabbi Shlomo Avner, and Beit HaRav for the photos. The publishers conclude by saying, certainly there can be no substitution to learning the teachings of Rav Tzvi Yehuda in the original Hebrew. It is our hope that the readers of this book will all one day have the blessing of enjoying Rav Kook's teaching, Rav Tzvi Yehuda's teaching, in the language of our Torah, in the land of the Torah, with the complete redemption of our nation. May it come speedily in our time. To which we can say Amen. Well, people, guess what? It's 2:00, but you know what? I started 5 minutes late. Can I please give you 5 minutes more? I'm not gonna brag, but sometimes I get word from Jake. He says, people were enjoying it. They wanted more. And I'm thinking, wow, that's very sweet. How can I give them more? We do an hour, and for some people, that's, you know, that's all the time they've got. And for me, you know, I'd like to do more, but that's all the time I got. Today I started late, for which I apologize. My dear friends, wherever you are in the world, please stick around 5 more minutes. And with these 5 minutes, we'll begin the book. The Sefer Torah Eretz Yisrael, Chapter 1, Emunah. Number one, the study of Emunah. Here we're sent to a footnote. This chapter is based on the Sichot of Tzvi Yehuda, Talmud Torah 1 and 2, edited by Rabbi Shlomo Avner. Rav Kook wrote that there were two fundamentals of Torah which needed to be strengthened in our time, the principles of Emunah and Ahava. Emunah and Ahava, of belief and of love. While all aspects of Torah require constant strengthening, Rav Kook chose to emphasize these two. See a discussion of that in Orot Yisrael, Chapter 4, Section 2. His son Rav Tzvi Yehuda personified these two tenets of our religion, Emunah, belief, and Ahava, love. And he emphasized their importance for a proper understanding of Torah. The Mishnah in Brachot tells us that the basis for all of the commandments in the Torah is Emunah. See the Mishnah in Brachot, Chapter 2, Mishnah 2. An increase of Emunah results in a greater cleavage to Hashem, and hence to all of the Torah. Although Emunah is usually translated into English as belief or faith, these words lack the deep spiritual component of true emunah, which encompasses not only intellectual and emotional belief, but the study and knowledge of Hashem and Torah, and here they put in bold, and the understanding of their expression in Am Yisrael. Here I'll read you a footnote from Rav Kook. Quote, Emunah is neither intellectual understanding nor feeling, but the most fundamental and substantial revelation of the soul's essence. Wow. So Emunah encompasses study knowledge of Hashem, Torah, and the understanding of their expression in Am Yisrael. Listen to this. On the very first day of my learning at Yeshivat Merkez Rav Kook, I fell ill and missed Rav Tzvi Yehuda's opening lecture. Over here, who's writing? Probably Rabbi Avner. It was a class he gave each Elul, in which he explained to new students the very special differences in the Yeshivat Merkez Harav approach to learning Torah. Several days later, when I was feeling better, I took a place in the line of students who were waiting to ask the Rosh Yeshiva questions at the conclusion of the Shacharit prayer. When my turn arrived, I told the Rosh Yeshiva that I had been sick and that I had missed his opening lecture. He sat me down, asked how I was feeling, and inquired about the details of my illness. Then, for nearly an hour, he explained, word for word, the lecture I had missed. The understanding of these matters was so important to Torah learning, Rosh Yeshiva took the time to go over the opening lesson with me alone. His concern was warm and tangible, like the interest of a father in the well-being of his son. At first, I was a bit overwhelmed by this private attention, but soon I forgot about the students waiting at the door, and I focused on every word. Rav Tzvi Yehuda told me that the yeshiva was a place to gain stature in Torah through a program of intense, detailed study all day and into the night, with a focus on Gemara and Halacha, no less than in any other yeshiva. What then was the uniqueness of the Yeshivat Merkez Rav Kook Yeshiva, he asked? The learning of Emunah. He said, every year among the new students, there are those who ask, what is Merkez Rav? What is the difference, the specialness, the distinguishing feature of this yeshiva? They want to understand our unique approach to Torah learning. After all, there are a great many yeshivot. The foundations of Torah aren't always as clear as they need to be. Along with the study of halakha, the truest pursuit of Torah includes the study of emunah. For those of you coming from the yeshivish world, I'll reread that sentence. Along with the study of halakha, the truest pursuit of Torah includes the study of emunah. Now that's it. We'll end off this with this page or so. Emunah isn't something which can be condensed to the expression, I believe, or to singing the song, Ani Ma'amin. Emunah is something which must be learned as well, to study and study until the comprehension is clear. We need to strengthen the fundamentals of Emunah until we possess total understanding and knowledge in our inner beings during every breath of our lives. From this basis, Emunah is revealed in its intellectual expression, in its deep emotional belief, in its exalted spiritual aspect and in all of the other senses in man. Emunah has to be studied, of Tzvi Yehuda repeated. Repetition was characteristic of his teaching. During my 10 years of learning at the Yeshiva Merkez Rav Kook, I came to understand why. Concepts which I thought I had understood the first time he expressed them took on sharp focus only much later, after constant repetition, year after year. A story is told about a student who once asked the Kotzker why the Maharal repeated himself so often in his books. "This disturbs you?" the Kotzker responded. "I still haven't managed to understand what he intended the first time." Rav Tzvi Yehuda said, "Emunah isn't a simple proclamation of belief. Emunah is the greatest learning, the greatest wisdom, the profoundest thought, the broadest approach to the world, encompassing all of man and all of the universe." And we'll conclude with this footnote number 5. On page 5, Emunah encompasses all knowledge, creating a universal bond between all the different disciplines and fields, and this bestows eternal life to everyone who is blessed by its light. Its inner vitality brings life to society, to the foundations of ethical conduct, and to the life of the individual, in the same way that it infuses all of the universe with life. This is from Musar HaKodesh, from Rav Kook, section 74, published by Masada Rav Kook. People, did you ever know any of this about Emunah? I never even gave it one thought. On to page 6, and we'll conclude. Also, this is in bold. Emunah is the greatest learning. That was in bold. Let me read everything in bold, because it's got to be repeated. Rav Tzvi Yehuda way. Emunah is the greatest learning, the greatest wisdom, the profoundest thought, the broadest approach to the world, encompassing all of man and all of the universe. Top page 6 in bold. The study of Emunah is not less important than other learning. On the contrary, it is much more important. Emunah is the study of the profoundest truth and the understanding of matters which stand in the most exalted reaches. It encompasses the truthful illumination of logic, of science, and of the divine. It is true, Rav Tzvi Yehuda said, that Emunah must be tamima, pure. But what is the meaning of tamimus? Foolishness? Emunah isn't just simple belief. It is a profound wisdom which requires deep probing. And now that your head is spinning, because you never gave Emunah a second thought, and because you thought that if anybody's studying Emunah, it's Beis Yaakov girls, maybe little children, and Hasidim, who emphasize that. Now guess what? You're introduced to the thought of Rav Tzvi Yehuda HaKohen Kook, who's considering Emunah so basic that we can't even proceed with anything. Nothing. Nothing about the Torah, nothing about Israel, nothing about Klal Yisrael, nothing about Hashem, nothing. Before we begin our study of Emunah and get some sort of lockdown on it, we've got nothing. And we can study nothing. So it's going to be Emunah, Emunah, Emunah for the next 50 pages. And we'll see how he treats it. I, for one, am awfully excited. And I hope you are too. So my dear friends, whoever you are and wherever you are in the world, I want to thank you for calling in today and joining us in our special study of Torat Eretz Yisrael, the teachings of Tzvi Yehuda HaKohen Kook. This will take us quite a bit of time to go through this book, but I think it's going to be well worth it. We'll all be lifted up spiritually, intellectually. We'll all be edified. We'll raise ourselves in Torah learning and understanding, understanding the importance of the land, importance of Emunah, importance of the Torah, and our service of Hashem. I, for one, am extremely excited. I hope you are too. Please join us next Monday at 1 o'clock Eastern Time as we continue our study of Torat Eretz Yisrael. My dear friends, I want to wish you a good, healthy day. Those of you who give blood, may you be blessed. You may never need blood. Blood is always on my mind. If you've never donated blood before, please consider doing so. It is remarkably uplifting, knowing that you just saved a life. So have yourselves a good day, a good week. God willing, we'll be back next Monday afternoon with more Torat Eretz Yisrael, the teachings of Rav Yehuda Cohen Cook. Thanks for joining me. Shul Plotzker signing off now, live from Gulf Meir Synagogue in Cincinnati, Ohio. Not quite exactly as Rabbi Delevi, he wouldn't say about Cincinnati that it's Sof Ma'arav, but it's close. It's in the middle of America. Not L.A., but it's in the middle. At all events, I'm here in the Midwest, and I'm signing off. Have a great day and a great week. God willing, we'll see you next week. Keep on lifting up the 3 weeks. Let's keep on doing Achdus and loving our neighbor and our friends, doing what we can to build Ahavat Yisrael so we can be Zocha to see the Geula Shlema, the Meher of Yameinu. Amen. Have a great week. Take care and be well. Bye-bye now.